This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the ifanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 124, sponsored by Jim Hanley's Universe, Who Comics, and InStockTrades.com. Welcome to the ifanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode 120. It's 124. I'm excited. I'm Josh.
A little more energy there.
You know what? It was a little play acting.
Okay.
That was. I'm Josh, and I'm here with that one.
I'm Ron.
There he is. And the other guy. He's dead.
Hey!
Are you on the pod?
I'm back.
He's back.
Honor.
He's back from abroad. How was your vacation, Connor?
Listen, I came back and my key card didn't work in the iFanboy office door.
Oh, listen about that.
I had an intern let me in. It was very awkward. Listen, the guy said I could transport the balloons in my stomach and I would be fine.
That's just wrong.
It's still known fact that Connor actually almost got busted for international DVD smuggling once.
Listen, I don't like to talk about that.
Yeah. iFanboy.com is our website where we are all about comics. We like them. We read them every week. One of us, we all read them all, but one of us has to pick the best thing that they read that week, write a review about it up on iFanboy.com, and then we come here and talk about it on the website and all the other books of the week and usually other random shit like Connor smuggling DVDs. Before we get to it, your warning is that we are going to talk about the books of this week. So if you haven't read them, it would just be ridiculous of you to keep listening unless you don't care that they get spoiled, in which case, you know, it's a lot of fun anyway, so why not listen? So, Connor, you had to get right to work. Get to work.
if I had known I was coming back to this week of comics, I would have stayed away one more week.
Oh, that's not nice.
It was not a strong week of comics. I had like 17 books, and most of them were very mediocre, which was tough when you have the pick of the week. But there were a couple of good ones, and the best of the good ones was Fantastic Four 555 from Mark Miller and Brian Hitch. The second issue of their much-vaunted run on Fantastic Four. And I have to say, I'm really not a big Fantastic Four fan. And I said in my review, I feel like I should be, because they're like, you know, their seminal Marvel team. You know, they're the first family of Marvel. They're the world's greatest comic magazine and all that stuff. And so I feel like as a comic fan, I should like them, but very often when I read their book, I don't. But this one I'm really having a lot of fun with. It's big, wacky science fun with Reed Richards and his science buddies. There's not really a lot of the rest of the Fantastic Four so far in the story. It's mostly been Reed Richards and Mark Miller's crazy science adventures. And really that's what's most fun is for me of the book is seeing what goofy shit Mark Miller comes up with. And really it seems to be the kind of stuff that the British writers excel at, the Grant Morrisons, the Warren Ellises, the Mark Millers, of the kind of big idea, the pulp science stuff, the stuff that for some reason the American writers don't seem as good at. And I think that's a lot to do with the stuff that you grow up with.
I think it's really interesting that this story, I mean, you could almost see taking the Fantastic Four out of the story and putting the story in 2000 AD. And yep. And believing it that it's happening, you know what I mean? Like the idea of that, you know, they're building another Earth, and you know, and it I definitely see that angle to it.
I could see it in another book by Douglas Adams. I guess that's where I could see.
Also not an American.
I was waiting for Bill Nighy or whatever his name is at the end of the movie of Hitchhiker's Guide with the little. Yeah. Anyway.
Not a good movie.
No, it wasn't.
Slarty part fast.
Is it
that I like that book, by the way? Oh, look, it's the white fucking Monty Python nerd. Look at him go. Anyway, go ahead, Connor.
I have a lot of fun reading this book, and Brian Hitch is really doing a great job with the big science panels and the intricate technology and all the machines and the designs, and it's just fun. It's just, I think Fantastic Four should be fun. I think when it goes off in the standard superhero land, it gets kind of dull because there's so much of that. But you don't have a lot of books, especially from the mainstream companies, that are based around big science.
Yep.
And I think this book excels when it is about big science. It's more science fiction than superhero. And I think so far, so good for Mark Miller taking it to a science fiction realm. But yep. Right now, there's no real supervillain. There's nothing. There's not like a. It's not a standard superhero story. It's right now, it's a science problem.
Yeah, there's no threat. Yeah, well, we get a little bit of Johnny's villain girlfriend towards the end, right?
Yeah, but that just serves so he can nail her.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's brought back European sensibilities.
I thought it was interesting that on the art side that Hitch was is the ink credit goes to Brian Hitch and Paul Neary. Paul Neary, one of the great British inkers. So I thought that was really interesting. I wonder how that division of labor is going and whether, you know, he's doing one page and Neary's doing the other, if they're doing them together or not. But I thought that was really interesting.
They're sitting together at the table inking at the same time each page.
Well, there's so much detail. I wouldn't be surprised. They've rotated.
They're poking each other and giggling. And
Well, you know that Neary's so much faster than Hitch.
Yeah, exactly.
So like he gets the page and then he just sits there watching him like draw an arm really slowly. He's like, oh, come on, mate. Let's go. Oh, bloody hell, I finished 2 pages. You're still on the foot, mate. Come on. Let's go. I liked this issue a lot better than the first one. I think probably just because it got the story started and the other one was sort of like, this is what it's going to be like now, but there wasn't much story to it. Right. I actually thought the science was okay. I mean, it was a little, I was like, wow, look at you just being like, global warming's fucked us. That's a bold stand to take. But I actually liked the family dynamic of this one a lot better. We're like, Reed's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Well. You know, and like they're letting him be like that. And it's funny because this has been going on for 40 plus years now. So you're at the point where like, Sue, drop him. He's a prick. He's not paying attention to you.
But I think the added tension of his former, you know, like the of the former, I don't know, girlfriend or you know,
this is fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That's an even better angle to it, I think.
Yeah, I think if that's the way you're going to do it with like a almost like an OC kind of thing. Like yeah. It's just horrible. And I mean, that's enough to make me read more. That's interesting to me because, you know, this whole other Earth thing's not going to freak. I like how Ben was completely dismissive of it. He's, you'll figure it out. No big deal. Anyway, let's talk about the home life.
Yeah. Well, and that's what he is. I mean, like he kind of, you know, let's redo the science stuff and then he worries about everybody else, you know? So
it was interesting that Sue wasn't even in this issue.
Yeah, no, she's barely in it. Yeah, no, she wasn't even
in
it.
She's not in this at all.
Yeah, that's true.
The only thing that I had is that in the scene where Johnny got up and went and then started fighting the girl and then making out with her, it seemed really choppy. Like I felt like I was missing panels. Did you guys experience that?
I thought that was a little, I don't want to say tacked on, but a little rushed or I don't know. Like I got the same feeling.
The sequence of the panels, like I was like, wait, what happened here? Like it was kind of. I mean, these guys are better than that. I thought. Yeah. No, I shouldn't be feeling this.
I was impressed with the accuracy of the roadways that they fought on. No, seriously, there's a couple. It's right around the Triborough Bridge and stuff, and there's a couple of shots where I'm like, I know exactly where that is, and I thought I was really impressed by that. I thought, you know, that,
it was actually I saw a very slow moving British man with a Bristol board
on the shoulder of the Deegan. Just
yeah, and he was like. Hold on, mate. Let's see. So the bridge is here. And then there was another guy behind him with an ink quill, and he was just like, come on. And that's what it's like. He's like the bulldog in the cartoon, and then the little yappy dog is Paul Neal. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Anyway, so Connor.
What I like about the science is that it's like every goofy science fiction trope. You know, like the scientists know what's best for us, so they're going to create this utopian society in the second Earth. But, you know, come on. This stuff always goes wrong. Yeah, robots that protect everybody, it's straight out of Westworld. I mean, that's what I like about it.
And, of course, their base is in the North Pole.
Right.
You know, of course, they have to work there where nobody will find them. You know?
Huge fan of cap robots. I thought that was a really fun idea.
Cap robots?
Just because it's just so disrespectful.
Exactly.
It's just like... Come on, Connor, you had it in your review. You're like, don't you people watch these movies? You're supposed – I get that Alyssa is supposed to be a genius, but I don't think that they're playing her that way. Like, really? She seems incredibly naive to me. Like, maybe she's smart.
Have you ever met really, really smart academics?
No, not at all.
There is and some of them I've met and hung out with, there is a certain amount of real-world naivete.
Yeah.
I think that they play that in Reed really well, but she seems more to me like the OC person, like the really like the sexy person who's come to fuck up your life. You know what I mean? Like more than anything else, more than a genius.
When that happens. But what happens to me? See, like,
it's like riding a bike, boys. It's like riding a bike.
So I really had a good time with it. I think it's fun. I really enjoy the fact that I like Fantastic Four, or at least I'm having a good time with it, and I feel like that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is the best thing in the world, but it definitely makes Fantastic Four. It's got me buying Fantastic Four again, which I haven't done in a while.
And hey, so. Fantastic Four is back to being a top seller. Not the top seller, but it's a top seller. So yeah. It's the second highest pulled book on iFanboy. So that's telling you something.
There you go.
Well.
Josh.
Yes.
Iron Man Into the Mandarin number 6.
I'm guessing that this was not the highest pulled book on iFanboy.
It's a goddamn crime.
We got the final issue of the 6-issue mini from Joe Casey, Eric Kennedy, and Dave Stewart. I just wanted to make sure I said Kennedy correctly this time because last time it was a horrible mess. I didn't love the ending.
No, I thought the ending. I was really expecting this to be a pick of the week candidate, but it sort of ended very quietly.
Yeah, there was a lot of sort of panels with action, but not really a lot of plot that took place near the end. And then basically, just for those of you not following, what this is a it's a miniseries about sort of the first time that Tony Stark as Iron Man meets the Mandarin and they fight. And for most of this, it's been a really good Iron Man story. Good classic stuff. beautiful art from Eric Nitty all the way through. I wouldn't complain about that for a second. But basically, like, the ending, this is the last one, and you're left with, like, you know, the villain gets away and nothing's really resolved. And I guess maybe this will lead into more issues like this. But
well, you know what I thought? When I was about halfway through it, I thought, okay, this is not really wrapping up. And mm-hmm. I got really excited thinking maybe it was going to say, like, you know, there's going to be a second one. You know, like, I thought maybe that's where it was going. They were going to say, to be continued in Into the Mandarin Part 2, but it didn't.
Right. Well, there
was no finality to it, at least to the story.
Maybe he just wrote it that way so that, like, they'd have, like, I guess we have to give him another one.
This whole series seems like a big – it's a very big enigma because, like, if you look at – if you keep track of the reprints market, this is not – this is going straight to trade. They're not doing a hardcover of it, which is very mm-hmm. curious and unlike Marvel. Normally they do the issues, then they do a premiere hardcover edition, and then they do a trade after that. And this is going straight to trade, which is just kind of bizarre.
I would recommend anybody – this is – I mean, even though this issue kind of ended softly, I think the whole series has been good.
Yeah.
And anybody who likes Iron Man or liked Iron Man and now dislikes him because of Civil War and remembers liking him as a younger person, this is – sort of the miniseries for you, and I think you should probably check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to check – I haven't been reading the issues, but I'm going to check it out in trade.
Another really cool thing about it is that it kind of harkens back to more classic comic books. If you read, like, the Mandarin's dialogue, it is like it's like old school villain speak, which you don't see very often anymore because these are the times of the Hood and not of the Mandarin. Or, you know, like even Doom in Mighty Avengers, which we'll be talking about in a minute, was much more – I was like, that's not how Doom talks. He was much more subdued. But the Mandarin in this is just, you know, full on – a lot of that kind of stuff that we were talking about Godland last month.
Normally I would relish the blood spilled here today, but I have long since evolved beyond such pleasures.
And you know what? It's almost a lost art to write the villains like that in comic books because it's so classic.
That this is Joe Casey's like wheelhouse now is that drink that he, you know, this old sort of old 80s style Godland, Iron Man Mandarin, Avengers miniseries he did. This is sort of his like retro modern style he owns right now. And this is part
of that.
Well, and you referred to Mighty Avengers. So Mighty Avengers number 10 came out, and I think the general feeling in the community out there is that they're not liking this arc. But
I'm having a blast with it.
I love this issue, and purely, and this is, I mean, it's awful, but I purely love the issue. Like I totally fell hook, line, and sinker when they went back in the past in last issue, and they changed the coloring to be like the dot pitchy kind of old kind of Silver Age kind of printing. I actually thought it didn't look as good in the issue this month as it did in those pages last month. But the bottom of the page promos that like Marvel used to do had me. Like I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, awesome.
I was reading that, and I was like, oh, Ron is just filling up his pants over this one.
Loved
He's
it.
Just,
loved it. I thought this issue was really good, except for the Sentry. I thought the Sentry was the weakest point.
Well, he sucks the life out of any comic.
Yeah, exactly. And
I want the Iron Man, Dr. Doom, buddy comedy.
Yeah, so do I. Because honestly, like, you know, like we had the conversation where Iron Man's saying how they don't want to go back in the past. They don't want to screw anything up in the past because when they go back to the future, they can see the apes have taken over or something. And, you know, Doom says, I don't disagree. And then Iron Man thought bubble going, Doom seen Planet of the Apes? I thought that was real. That made me laugh. But I love the Iron Man, Doom relationship. It's great.
I think that could go a little further. You know what I really would like, and I was alluding to this. I would like the Doom speak to be ratcheted up about 15%.
I could see that.
Yeah,
it was just a little too chummy,
a little too normal.
What I really liked was the tension of the whole time. You're like, Tony, why are you trusting him? He's gonna screw you over.
Yeah,
Tony. And the whole time I'm like, what are you doing? What are you letting him? It happened. You know, like, of course it happened. But it's,
I also like the tension of Tony constantly trying to hack into his armor.
Yeah.
So you've got mm-hmm. the underlying – you got the dialogue going on, but underneath that all, you've got the armor talking to each other, which is a whole other thing happening. And I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I like it.
They're an interesting pair. You never – you know, Iron Man and Dr. Doom were never really – you never thought of them as people who fought.
Yep.
But they're perfect.
They have a good history. Yeah, they've got a good history, so –
well, they're opposites, basically. I mean, they're basically, you know, same size, two sides of the coin, I guess.
Yeah, which is a great way of thinking of them.
The best line in this was the thing about a lot more people hate you than hate me, Doom says to Iron Man, I think.
Yeah.
And that's just like the moment of, shit. I mean, you know what's funny is that Tony Stark has almost been getting sort of a redeemed in the other books, because there are 9 versions of Tony Stark in the Marvel Universe right now.
Totally true. There's no Tony.
And this is sort of back to the more jerky one who made bad decisions and is sort of admitting it, as opposed to the one in Captain America who is a noble guy and he's going forward with it. You know, like,
or the one in Iron Man is on vacation.
And crazy. He's on psychiatric leave.
That's awesome.
I just don't like anything to do with the Sentry, and the fact that they're back in this the past where the Sentry rules.
Yeah.
And everybody knows who he is. I'm just like, I hate this.
It just sucks.
I hate every moment of this.
Yeah, it's really bad. So I was really surprised this week. I picked up on a Lark Serenity Better Days issue number 1 from Dark Horse Comics, and
I did not draw that book. What do you mean?
Okay.
It was a callback. Old Michael Lark joke.
Oh, right. Oh, nice. There we go. And I didn't know what to expect. Serenity, you know, Firefly was the TV show. Joss Whedon did the kind of the Wild West in space with an Asian influence kind of.
Wasn't Asian influence. It was the future where China had.
Where there's an Asian influence in culture, basically.
Right, because China had taken over everything.
Right. And I just watched the DVDs like months ago, so I'm really late to the game of Firefly, and I haven't even seen the movie yet. This takes place before the movie. So apparently people die or something, I heard. So don't tell me. Yeah,
no,
so.
I was going to say, but if the book had taken place after the movie, that would suck.
Well, look, you ruined Astonishing X-Men. I think it's only fair that I ruin the movie for you.
I'm taking my headphones off. But
I listened.
I'm sorry. You were going to read Uncanny anyway. Anyway, real quickly, this is written by Joss Whedon and Brett Matthews, and the art is similar in the Buffy kind of vein where, you know, like the cover, of course, they make it look like the actors, but in the book they kind of look like the actors. It's not actually totally photorealistic. But it's just a reminder of when Whedon is writing these characters he's created, like, and you're reading it and you can hear the characters' voices in your head. It's just it was just a delight to read. It was a lot of fun. It was like you could hear – and these are really, really good characters, and I'm really a big fan of them. And it was just great to hear them in action again. The only complaint is that because of the Chinese influence, like the points in the – remember in the show when they would curse and they would curse and they – you know, they
Chinese.
Go, it's actually the Chinese characters – which is right. I don't know what to make of that, so in my head I just go blah blah blah, you know, like it's just like but this
you didn't know what to make of the like Richard before,
but it was a kind of throw off when I would expect it phonetic. I guess I would expect it phonetically.
Is Jane still alive in this one?
Yes.
He's in the movie.
So it was really good. So if you're a fan of Firefly, it is worth checking out. It was really, really good.
I was a fan of Firefly, I was a fan of Angel, a fan of some of Buffy, and I read the Buffy comic, but I have no interest in reading Angel or Serenity.
Well, check out Serenity. I think you'd be surprised. If you go back to the store, check it out.
If I did go to the store, I'd go to Jim Hanley's Universe, because it's one of America's best and most progressive comic book stores. Jim Hanley's Universe offers the best selection of comic book titles and related merchandise, from mainstream to manga to minis. Jim Hanley's Universe has it all. Jim Hanley's Universe is located opposite the Empire State Building in Midtown Manhattan and at 325 Newdorp Lane in Staten Island. And you can visit Jim Hanley's Universe on the web at www.jhuniverse.com or at myspace.com/Jim Hanley's Universe. Jim Hanley's Universe, where art and literature meet.
You know, you cannot say Staten Island without me thinking Adrian Toomes, Vulture. It's amazing how that got imprinted on my brain. Lone Ranger and Tonto?
Brett Matthews, which is strange. He writes Lone Ranger. He wrote Serenity.
Oh, yeah, he wrote Serenity, yeah.
Lone Ranger Tonto, this was a one-shot. I guess this is sort of the get people to check it out kind of deal-y.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since the last issue of the Lone Ranger. And this was just a really strong – actually, this was probably the closest anything came to unseating Fantastic Four's pick of the week. It was just a one-shot issue of the Lone Ranger and Tonto dealing with a bad guy. It was really, you know, standard stuff, but it was really well done. The art from Mario Guevara is very European and very unlike with anything else in comics right now. It doesn't look like in a Western comic at all. And it was exciting. It was Lone Ranger action. It was Tonto action. It was morally ambiguous. It was somewhat of a Jonah Hex kind of deal with the bad guy is not as clearly bad as you think, and at the end you're kind of left scratching your head at whether or not the right thing happened. And it was very, very good.
Cool.
Could pick that though, because that would have been just too. There's Connor again with his.
And then me and five people talking about.
Yeah, go after you talk about Dan Dare, you can go talk about that book.
Shut up.
Anyway, so we talked about Joe Casey a little earlier. Joe Casey had The Last Defenders number 1 come out, which was actually co-plotted by Joe Casey and Keith Giffen, which I thought was interesting.
I was like, oh.
And because Giffen's got a long history with the Defenders. And Casey did the script, Giffen did the co-plot and breakdowns, and Jim Muniz did the pencils. This is issue number one of a six-issue miniseries. This takes place right in the middle of the Marvel Universe and right in the middle of the Initiative thing. And basically Nighthawk, who was the Squadron Supreme kind of leftover guy who was on Captain America's side and then switched over and joined Tony, pitches to start an Initiative team for the Defenders. And so Tony agrees with him and gives him New Jersey. And also gives him...
Which was funny.
Yeah, so they're the New Jersey Defenders, and he gives them Colossus, She-Hulk, and a guy named the Blazing Skull.
Blazing Skull, and who's kind of doughy and surly.
Yeah, and this is essentially... remember how we said Godland? We think that Joe, you know, kind of has a drink or maybe drops something or something, has a good time writing it. This had that exact same feel. I was laughing. It was like I was totally surprised. It blew me away. I thought it was totally like I love the Defenders. And I didn't know what to expect, and I was just like, oh, look at Joe having fun in the Marvel Universe.
This was Marvel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was. Yeah,
like,
totally.
I was like, whoa, slow down, everyone. Because I was having trouble following it. And I was just like, I didn't even know who Nighthawk, or is it Nighthawk?
Yeah, Nighthawk.
I didn't even know who the hell he was. I was like, wait a minute, that's not the Black Knight. Who is that? That's somebody or other. And
it's tying into Defenders history, and then towards the end, even I was a little out of it with the villain with the floating head in the Gevalschwartz system. Yeah, even I, but like, and there's one panel where the supposed villain's looking at all different incarnations of the Defenders, so you assume that it ties into Defenders lore, and that's why Giffen's kind of involved. You're right, it was steeped in Marvel, but it was just like, literally, I could picture Joe just pouring a drink and just going, oh, I'm going to write this comic book. Whatever, I don't care. You know?
Then Keith Giffen came in with like, put this weird shit in there too.
Yeah.
Put these other characters that nobody's thought about for 30 years.
Yeah, it was good though, it was good.
Yeah.
Also really good, Nova number 11 continues to be my most underrated science fiction book, most underrated comic book out there.
This is a science book. I mean, this is like a science – it was the techno-organic virus and just – wow.
I was just psyched because not only is it science fiction and not only is it cosmos and everything, but we see the return of Warlock, who was used to be in the New Mutants, who I thought actually was dead.
Did you like that character?
Oh, yeah.
Like previous?
Oh, yeah. Love them.
Was he written – because I don't really have an experience with him. I was curious. Was he written – like, is it the same type of character writing in this that it was before? Because I wouldn't think you'd like a character like that.
Yeah,
like,
dead on.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was Warlock. It was really good to see him again. And although it's kind of like they brought him back a couple of times now in different kind of in Excalibur, he came back kind of in a weird way. So I don't know what the explain. I might have missed something where he came back, or I don't know. But yeah, no, it is very sciencey, and I dig it. I love it. I love it every month it comes out.
Yeah, it was good. I actually had fallen behind on Nova, and I read a bunch of them to catch up, including the annual, which was spectacular.
Yep.
That came right before this one. It was good stuff.
Yeah. Never in my life would I have thought I'd hear Josh say that Nova was spectacular.
I feel vindicated.
Yeah, I can get over the Warlock stuff, but I really want to know what happens with the virus. I need him. I need to get that sorted out pretty soon.
Okay.
Batman Confidential number 14 was very – I'm dying. Excuse me. Batman Confidential 14 was very good. Tony Bedard and Erags Morales on art, which is kind of confusing because he's also on the art for Nightwing, and I read online that he can't really handle more than one book at a time, so I don't know how this happened. But this is basically it's, as I said last time, it's a Legends of the Dark Knight style book where this is telling a story of – Nightwing. This is Nightwing is the guest star. He's sort of the first year of Nightwing, so it's way back in the Yellow Oval stage of Batman. What started off as sort of a, you know, standard supervillain comes and Batman's got to fight him, and he's knocking off police officers. It's turned into a very interesting mystery, something to do with the night that Batman's parents were killed, something to do with Jim Gordon on that night, and that's the reason why this guy is back and killing police officers. Now Batman is obsessed with finding out what happened on the night his parents died. And great art by Rags Morales. Just Tony Bedard does a really good Batman, really good Batman universe. Alfred, the whole deal, and he does a really good Dick Grayson also.
Is this book sticking around?
I don't know.
I don't know. It feels like the kind of book that, like, you know, won't be around that long, but like right now, it's going to start to get good after a year or so.
The first couple were not good.
Yeah, so, I was under the belief that the Confidential series were not long for this world.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah. We don't know anything, basically.
Well, if it goes out on this one, it'll go out on a bang.
Was it the end of the story?
No, this is part two of four. It's got at least two more months in it.
All right.
Good. If you like Batman, you're looking for old school Batman fun, because You're not really getting that in the current Batman books. That's Batman Confidential is where to get it.
Batman number 7 came out this month, and you know, I've been watching the series closely because I'm a big fan of Mike Allred. I can't tell you what the hell's going on in it. I can tell you that this issue was a silent issue. There was no word balloons or dialogue or anything in it at all. And it was.
Did Batman save Scarlet from Storm Shadow in this issue?
No, but it was fantastic, and I'm pretty sure Madman got married at the end of it. But I can't tell you that because there was no words. But
he didn't actually say it. They're not really married.
Yeah, exactly. But it was really, really beautiful. And this continues to be a showpiece of Mike Allred's art. And like, if you're curious about Mike Allred, just pick up this issue. You don't need to know what's going on. You can the storytelling is tight enough that you can understand what's happening. You know, he's lost in space. He crashes. He meets his friends up again. Then he meets the girl. He kisses, and you see there's some sort of ceremony. And it was just beautiful. And I just adored it. It was so Madman just continues to wow me every month. And he does something different with every issue. And it's not so much that it's so postmodern that there's no real story, but that's okay sometimes.
Does it wow you because it's good or because he tries different experiments in every issue?
Because he tries different. I think it wows me because he's trying different experiments and they're good. You know what I mean?
Would this book annoy me?
Yes, probably. No, actually, I'd be curious.
Annoys me.
I
don't know what's happening, but it's great. He tells the story well. I don't get it.
Well, no. I mean, I'm from a continuity standpoint, issue to issue and stuff like that. Like, I'm not really 100% on where the story's going and what's happening. But if you picked up this issue, I think you would like it because you can understand what's happening and the art is beautiful.
What is Madman? I don't understand.
We don't have time for that.
Okay.
He's very angry.
What is the deal?
I'll tell you some other time.
Are there trades of it?
Yeah, like, yeah. There's Image has a huge $150 hardcover with everything in it. You should check it out.
Wow. So. I bet I could find that at InStockTrades.com.
You could.
Yeah, they've got everything up to 37% off and free shipping on any orders over $50. There are over 5,400 trade paperbacks in stock and ready for your order right now. New releases are listed every Wednesday, and stuff usually ships within 48 hours. What an excellent solution. So that's www.instocktrade. I can't say it. There it is.
Josh, you're leave us.
I'm stroking out. In stock.
Oh, that's awful.
And if I was to go there, I would probably buy a copy of this week's Book of the Month, which they have at a big discount.
What's the URL again?
It's www.instocktrades.com.
Maybe you should do the ads in other people's voices. That way
you can actually say it.
I definitely speak better as not myself.
You talk way better as Augie.
So. I'm going to do the next one is Jay Peterman.
All right, so Book of the Month time. So Connor was on vacation when the Book of the Month came out, so we didn't talk about it the week it was up on ifanboy.com, but now you're back. And so why don't you explain yourself in this Queen and Country Definitive Edition?
Yeah, as Ron said, this is the Book of the Month. This is the new feature on iFanboy. Last month's book was Godland from Joe Casey. That was Josh's Book of the Month. My Book of the Month is Queen and Country, the Definitive Edition, Volume 1 from Oni Press, and it came out earlier this year. If you go back in time to ifanboy.com, you would have found that many of the pick of the weeks were Queen and Country.
Yeah.
Very, very many. Very, very many of them. But luckily you weren't around, so you weren't really bothered by that like we were.
The two of them were.
If I can just explain, Queen and Country is Greg Rucka's spy series. It's based on the Sandbaggers series from BBC. Is it BBC, Josh? I don't remember which.
It's actually Yorkshire Television, YTV, Granada.
Channel 4.
Granada, nice.
It's a spy series. Takes place MI6, which is the British version of the CIA, the outside spies, the ones that go outside the country and deal with things like assassinations and moving people around that shouldn't be moved around and getting information out of countries and spying on foreign lands. That's the setup. And what it is it's a nice mix of action and intrigue in that you get a lot of action, you get a lot of missions. This definitive edition is broken up into three sections, three different missions. But you also get the politics involved and how do these missions come about, and what about when the people in charge don't want the mission to happen but the people on the ground know it needs to happen? How do they get around that, and how does that work? And then what happens after the mission's over? What happens to the agents? They come back and they just killed somebody. Do they just brush that off and keep working, or do they take to the bottle and to the random sex with people in bars? And that's what this series is about. It's about not only the action, but basically espionage in the modern world. There's a lot to do with this book basically started in 2001, so 9/11 happened in the middle of it, and it's dealt with towards the end of the book. And what it's like, it's not James Bond, you know, you don't jump around in a tuxedo drinking martinis. It's a lot more psychologically damning than that. And this is great, dirty. great. Yeah.
I mean, like you, the life of the spy, like, are all of these horrible moral choices, and then coming home and having to sort of deal with the emptiness of that, your actual life. Yep. This book is so effing good. Oh, it's so good. And like the first story with that Steve Rolston art is just, yep, you know, nails you.
Well, there's three stories. The first has got art by Steve Rolston, which we think was his first professional comic work, his first paid work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his first professional work. Yeah. I was looking. I was like, wow, he's done a few things. He did like a little graphic novel with Brian Wood once called Pounded.
Which I heard that wasn't very good, but I don't think that was Steve Rolston's fault.
No. It's just like I love looking at his artwork, and I actually looked him up. Like, where the hell's this guy been? Right now, he's doing an original graphic novel for Minx, I think. So he's sort of been off.
Oh,
for
that's
a while.
Perfect for him. Oh, that's, yep, that's a great fit. Yeah, I gotta say that you guys have been the Queen and Country fans. I've read a few miniseries here and there, but I'm not nearly as tied up on it. But I gotta say, this format, the definitive edition, the kind of like the smaller size, you know, like almost the same size as the pocketbooks from Strangers in Paradise. Yep. That's, we talked about that last week with Tom Caters. I was looking at it in the store, and I'm like, yeah, I can get into this format for this book.
It's a sexy little format. It really is.
It is a sexy little number, isn't it?
it holds,
hey, baby,
12.
What you doing later? Come on.
It holds 12.
Let me see your pages.
issues 1 through 12, plus a little bit of bonus segment, plus just a little bit of extras in the back.
A little bit of bonus, huh? Nice.
Yeah. In the back. You know, what's funny is that when we first heard that this was going to be the smaller format, Connor and I were like, no, oh, come on. Then we saw it and we were like, oh. Yeah. And it was looking at me. So I was like, hey.
It's very counter the industry trend is to go oversized, big hardcovers, big oversized books. But this is opposite of that. And it actually really works well for the story. The art doesn't suffer. And it's very portable. And cool. It's really nice looking on the shelf. And it's very hefty. I mean, it's a good value. It's $19.95 is the cover price. You can get it in stock trades for much cheaper than that. But for the cover price, it's a really, really good value. I mean, you're getting 12 comics for $20.
Yeah, and what's funny is that I haven't even read it, but I've been recommending it to people, and the people who I've recommended to have gotten back to me saying they loved it, so I figure...
Are you ever going to read it?
Maybe. Yeah, no. I got a really high stack right now. But yeah, no, I would like to. I would like to. So.
And if you've read it and you like it, or if you own this volume, volume 2, which is the next 12 issues, comes out in April, so that's going to be good too.
I do love the cover dress.
I'm going to guess this is really good for a reread, because the release schedule was not all that good, and it's a black and white book with just people. So while he did a very good job at the back of like giving you a roll call of everybody who was in it, there are times where you're like, now wait, is this Tom or is this Crocker or is this Ed? Well, you know, because they're all just white British dudes in black and white. So,
well, as I said in the review, I think 12 issues came out over the course of like 3 years, something like that. And reading it all together is a whole new experience, because we read it as issues came out, and there was a lot of misconceptions happened from that. You lose track of threads, you forget how things go. I was always under the impression that it was a lot less action-oriented than it actually was.
Right.
You know, because the thing that stuck with me was always the intrigue. But reading it all in one, there's a lot of action, and you really focus on the characters and you follow the threads a lot easier in this format than you do with the issues, because the issues, you know, you'd get one every 3-4 months and you sort of lose track. But all at once, I read it all in one go, and it was just fantastic.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah,
so
it's a great book.
Yeah. So as we mentioned earlier, if you go to InStockTrades.com and look up, you know, either search for Oni and find Oni Press, which publishes it, puts it there, or just search for Queen and Country, they've got it, and it's super discounted. So definitely check it out there at InStockTrades.com.
You can also go to iFanboy.com to read my review, which is much more coherent.
Yes.
Than what just happened.
Well, he didn't have me interrupting him the whole time he was writing it.
I'm also on the very cusp of the end of the WonderCon plague, so I'm barely holding it together.
Finally, Jesus. All right, so
Thunder Plague.
So moving right along. Before we get into the audience email and voicemails, we want to talk about a couple of other comic books that came out this week. But what all of you thought of them? If you don't know already, you can go to ifanboy.com every week and you can pick the comics that you're buying this week, and you can come back after you read them and rate and review them. And we got a couple of reviews of some books that we didn't talk about that we wanted to share with you all. So Josh, do you want to take the first one?
I can. DeCampo, or Dave Acampo as we know him, wrote about Green Arrow and Black Canary number 6, which we actually didn't talk about this month, or this week. And he gave it a 4 for the story out of 5, and a 5 for the art, because Cliff Chang was back on this issue.
Oh, thank God.
However, I think that he wrote a very good criticism, which probably it has to do with the 4. He said, the other weakness in the series is that Winnick's handle on the Black Canary. It's by no means terrible, but to make a partner book work, I think you have to have a really great take on both characters and their dynamic together. Thus far in the series, Winnick seems to have a great handle on Oliver as a character, his feelings for Dinah, for Roy, for Connor. However, Black Canary, particularly in this issue, seems to be there to calm down Oliver and give him pep talks when he needs them. And while that works for the current storyline, since it's really Oliver's sort of big tragedy, it's not going to work in the long run. So in future stories, I hope that we get to see an insight into Canary's character and why she needs Ollie just as he needs her. And he's absolutely right.
That's totally interesting. Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. That's a great observation. Yeah,
because we are still just reading a Green Arrow book right now.
Yeah, it's true.
And he's also right that it is Ollie's story, so maybe that next storyline will be more Dinah-based.
And also, Winnick had much more of a time period writing Ollie, writing Green Arrow, and while Black Canary appeared in it, she didn't appear in it nearly as much. And I think at this point, she's a foil; she's not really a character. So
So it's still just Green. It's Green Arrow 72 or whatever.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that Cliff Chang's art is beautiful, and I never want him to leave the book ever. Or I'll get angry.
It's going
to
disappoint you.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, with Norton drawing it, it's never going to be late. I can tell you that much.
Okay, so...
Zombox wrote... He reviewed The Astounding Wolfman. He gave it a 5 for story and a 5 for art, which is the highest he can get. And he said, Astonishing Wolfman is a really excellent solo hero book. The lead is engaging, fun, and reminds me a little of the early Kyle Rayner days. An adult granted powers who was trying to figure out the crazy hero world. He faces the dangers of his own powers, the tricks of a man who may or may not be manipulating him, yet he needs, in order to learn anything, a regular life that is a growing shambles.
And are either of you guys reading this book still or no?
I stopped.
Yeah.
I was waiting to see if it gets good again. If it was, I'd go back and get it in trade, but... Because the delays have hurt this book.
Well, they're not. Well, the thing is, I'm still reading it. In its defense, they're not delays. They are on a bimonthly schedule, which I believe they've hit. I don't believe it just takes forever for each book to come out. I got to go back to see if they're actually coming out on time. But I do know it's not going to be a monthly book. I agree with Zombox's thoughts about the character. It's the kind of, I've got these powers and what am I going to do with them? How am I going to define who I am? I just have a big problem with the pacing. I just feel as if it's going super, super fast. And
that was my problem with the first issue. I thought it went by way too quickly, and I thought that's probably why I didn't continue on it, because I just thought it was all weird.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the issue that came out this week. I don't know if I give it a five story, five art, but definitely like solid 4 and 4. I definitely liked it.
It's the one book I always think about, because I like Kirkman, I like his creator on stuff a lot.
Right.
I always, whenever it comes out, I'm always like, should I buy that? And I never do.
Yeah. So
I'm guessing if you go and you wait until the sixth issue comes out, it's going to be the awesome thing like that happened in Invincible.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be building up to that, just taking forever. So head over to ifanboy.com/comics, and there you can pick all your comics, and you can come back and rate and review them, and maybe we'll read your review on the site, on the show here, or put it up on the site. Who knows? Who knows what might happen with your review? It's amazing.
We might do anything. We might sell it.
So now's a good time to tell you all about a new website for comic book stores and their customers. It's called foocomics.com, and it gives comic book stores and their customers complete control over their subscriptions. If you go to a store, you might know sometimes it's hard to make sure the store gets what you want and all that kind of thing. everything. So this way, stores can easily enter their customers' subscriptions and generate their pull lists and be able to manage their orders. And it makes it really easy to order their comics and manage the inventory. If you think your store needs this, tell them to go to foocomics.com/ifanboy, which was created by a comic collector, and he knows exactly what you might be looking for. So that's foocomics.com/ifanboy to learn more.
Email time. Andrew writes and says, you guys seem to have always forced titles on each other. When are you going to get Connor and Josh to read Savage Dragon? It has to be the best thing to come out of the first 5+ years of Image. It was pretty much the only non-Marvel or DC book I bought throughout high school. The first 12 or so issues are kind of generic 1990s superhero stuff, even though I love it. But from issues 14 to 75 holds one of my favorite runs in all of comics. After Larson killed the world in issue 75, spoiler alert, it was still good. But the stuff before that was gold. Have you tried to get them on board, or do you know them well enough to know they won't like it? I know this sounds crazy, but I think it could be worth its own video show like Preacher or Sandman.
Well, we did an episode a couple of months ago where I talked about Savage Dragon Volume 1, the first trade, and I believe I challenged Josh to read it.
It was like 6 issues, right?
Yeah, no, less. I think it was a 4-issue type thing.
And he's right. It was generic 1990s superhero stuff. It was good. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like, oh my god, I need to have more.
Yeah, no, and he's right. He's right from issue 14 pretty much till 75. Larson got a little wacky once he realized.
He went on the crazy train.
Exactly. Once he realized that nobody was not that nobody was reading, but like just the diehards were reading. He definitely got on the crazy train, but it was a lot of fun. And I, to this day, I would recommend that book to anybody who's a fan of comic book.
Is there a comprehensive trade?
They've been doing archives, which are like essentials, which are black and white reprints, which I would recommend reading those because they're cheap and they're just good quick reads, and you really get to see Larson's artwork really nicely. I don't know if they're doing comprehensive color reprintings or not. I would hope they do, but
maybe it's time for another tote bag episode.
Maybe. It's filled with Savage Dragon archives.
That's all there is.
This would be
Savage
more like
Savage Dragon Volume 5. Oh.
This would be more like Sandman.
It's going to be Josh's Sandman. We might have to make him do that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Isn't there another book that can be my Sandman?
Well, if you have a suggestion of a book that could be Josh's Sandman, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com and let us know. We're taking...
good one.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I don't know if I could think of a better one for me. Because there's nothing that's... It's not like you could be like, oh, read X-Men from 1991 to 2000.
Yeah.
Like, that would suck.
Oh, sure. But don't forget, contact@ifanboy.com. Email us. Let us know what you think. Onto the voicemails. We have a question about a not too popular DC character.
Hey, guys. Listening to the Logan number one pick of the week. And I finally figured I'd call in about this. I want to know what do you guys think about what happened to the greatest comic book character ever, Ambush Bug? I mean, where did this beautiful aberration go? Why is it not still published today? Where's Keith Giffen? I know he's doing a lot of DC, but I mean, it's the greatest book ever. Anyway, get back to me.
Well, I love it when people call in and we have an answer.
Really?
Because most often we're left with our pants down, and this time we actually have an answer, which is fantastic.
You said you couldn't see me doing this.
Ambush Bug, for those who don't know, including Josh, is one of those obscure characters that are loved by folk
people.
Yeah, by weird people.
No, not weird.
But
there's only 8 of them.
No, they're more than 8. You just because you don't know about it, Josh. Calm down.
Oh,
I don't even really know about it, but I'm curious. But anyway, so Ambush Bug is there is a miniseries coming in July that's actually plotted and penciled by its original creator Keith Giffen, and it's going to be written by Robert Lauren Fleming, and it's going to be 6 issues starting in July and give you all the Ambush Bug that you've been yearning for. Connor, who is Ambush Bug?
I don't fucking know.
He
would pop up in books I read. He was basically a comedy, character. One of those goofy kind of Forbush man type deals.
Yeah, I was gonna say I get the feeling that he was like Impossible Man from Marvel, or Forbush Man, or maybe even actually Morph from Exiles. You know.
Yeah. So. He was a comedy sort of a postmodern type of character.
Yeah.
He knew he was a comic character.
If you go to the DC panels at a convention, it's just Ambush Bug joke after Ambush Bug joke, and like. 4 people are laughing at it. Like, it's the funniest thing of all time. And I don't get it. I don't know who he is. And I don't think anybody actually likes him or knows about him.
You're opening us up to a floodgate of email and voicemail, I think.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, I think
would
so.
Never do something like that.
There are a lot of loyal Ambush Bug fans. I know it. I've had
those people who stand up and they're like, Dan Didio's like, do you have a question? And he's like, yeah, when's Ambush Bug coming back? Like, and everybody, and like the three people are like, oh, that's hilarious. Ha 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 ha. It's not funny.
Yeah.
That was Firestorm like 4 years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And then the one guy who's like a really, really rabid Hellcat fan.
Yes. Well, that's a Marvel.
Oh, same. Anyway. I mean, they've each got them.
All right. Well, if you've got something that you are a big fan of and you want to call and ask where the character is, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. We appreciate it.
Let's kill this. We're clearly out of practice. You know, like you got Connor. He's got the jet lag and he's still suffering from the con plague. Hey, speaking of con plague. If you are listening to this on Sunday, that means that yesterday our WonderCon video show came out titled Wonder Plague.
Yeah.
And the reason it's that, and you'll see it, is that WonderCon in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago tried to kill us. Yeah, I mean, really, like Ron, you actually didn't get sick?
Yeah, no, just for the record, it tried to kill the both of you.
And Gordon.
I'm fine. I was maybe.
And Mike Romo.
Maybe I was pulling the strings behind
and
WonderCon.
James. Everybody yeah. but you. Yeah. Everybody who hung out with but you.
A lot of people. And if you're watching this show, you might notice that you can see me way too well. because it is our first show in glorious high definition.
Yes.
And I would like to apologize.
So, yes. So we've made the jump. Now iFanboy, the video show, is in high definition. If you head over...
How do you get that?
If you head over to iFanboy.com, there will be a link to subscribe to the high definition RSS feed, or you can go to revision3.com/iFanboy and download the high definition file directly. The files are a little bigger, but if you have an Xbox 360 and you put media on to watch on TV, or if you have an Apple TV or something like that, you're going to want to get this version because we've upgraded our cameras, we've upgraded our equipment.
You really don't want to get this version.
Yeah, well,
why would you want that?
The thing I got to say though, aside from us in high definition, the artwork looks beautiful and crisp, and it's just like really more artwork, less the three of us, I think. You know, then we'll be okay. But
that sounds like more work. But wait, there's more.
There is more.
You do not just get the one slicer. If you call right now, you don't just get the show in HD.
Before you go to your spiel, it's important to note one quickly on high def is that it's not the player on the website.
Yes, no, that's the one thing. The player on the website is playing the Flash version, and it's pulling from it's pulling from the Flash version, which is at a lower bit rate to play over Flash, all that kind of stuff. But but that should still look even better though, because it's coming from a better source. But the Flash on iFanboy.com is not in high definition.
And that's what you should stick to. No, I'm kidding. So we got this crazy idea. We thought we're not doing enough, and we're not talking about enough. So get ready for the iFanboy Mini. And what is the iFanboy Mini, you ask? Well, if you're listening to this on Sunday, because you've just downloaded it and you've got nothing else to do, you're going to go on Monday morning to iFanboy or Vision 3, and you're going to find the first of our short daily episodes, the iFanboy Minis. That's right. We're doing video shows every single
Monday
day.
Monday through Saturday.
And those are in high definition as well. So now, yes. For six of the 7 days of the week, you can watch some sort of video about comic books, which is pretty cool, I think. So
it is cool, but also very frightening.
So
weekday shows are short little shows. They're not 20 minutes because that would kill us. They're going to be, 1-3 minutes at the most. And they're just little fun. They'll be either a quick recommendation, or we'll talk about a book, or we'll do an email, or we're going to do the shipping list, or do a quick talk on the pick of the week before we do the longer discussion here on the audio show, or just whatever.
Now it's important to note that for the immediate, once we launch, if you're subscribed to the iFanboy video show through iTunes or whatever RSS thing you might use, you're going to start receiving the iFanboy Mini as well. Revision3.com is working hard, and we're going to break that out so that you could subscribe to just the Mini or just the weekly Saturday show, or you could subscribe to everything and just get iFanboy sent directly to your doorstep. So keep an eye out for that, but just want to know if you're subscribed to the iFanboy video show, you're going to be getting these Minis in as well. So those of you with small hard drives, you might want to look, make sure you're deleting them when you're done watching and all that kind of deal. But yeah.
Exciting. And Josh, what's the first episode about? Give the folks a teaser.
Well, it turns out that Saturday, which would have been the 15th, is now St. Patrick's Day. Every other year, it's been on the 17th, which was Monday.
I'm so shocked.
We shot the Irish characters. We just did a little primer on some Irish comic book characters. Maybe you'll learn a little bit about the gay ghost. I don't know.
A little Irish pride for you.
There it is, and it was done by Flanagan. So what are you going to do with Al? That's great.
So be sure to go to ifanboy.com on Monday to check out the first iFanboy mini, or go to revision3.com/iFanboy and get all your stuff there. And we hope you all like it.
And every other day except for Sunday for the rest of our natural lives.
Yes.
And
Sunday when you get the audio podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, God. There's a show every week.
Content every day.
And we're looking forward to what you all think of it, despite our self-deprecating humor, which we're probably doing too much of. We're actually really excited about it, and we hope you all...
No, I'm excited. This is going to be the wacky one. Yeah. iFanboy Mini is going to be the... you're going to see us devolve into madness.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been telling everybody that we thanked everybody's support, and we got iFanboy.com out, and we've been working hard on this new daily video stuff, and we're not stopping here. So, you know, more stuff to come in 2008 for iFanboy. So it's just, you know, we keep giving you what you want. You all said you wanted more, so we're giving it to you. So, and also you want to make sure you go over to ifanboy.com, and that's where you can check out the pick of the week review every Wednesday night, pick the best comic that came out, as well as the book of the month review once a month. And like we said earlier, you can go to ifanboy.com/comics, see what comics are shipping, pick your favorites, rate and review them, you know, kind of participate in the community. It's a fun place to be.
I'm sorry, can I give a shout out to Paul Dini and Jonathan Hickman?
Yeah, strong weeks from them recently.
Both of those guys just slapped it out of the park this week.
Yeah,
I thought.
Totally.
That was fun.
So yeah, so we got great columns every other week from Jonathan Hickman and every week from Paul Dini on Thursdays. So you got to go to ifanboy.com, and it's the place to be these days.
And if you go there and you feel like buying something, you can go to the ifanboy.com store, which is ifanboy.com/store. You can buy all the books we've mentioned on the video show. You can buy anything you want through Amazon. It helps the show out and it doesn't cost you a damn thing. And you can also go to netflix.com/ifanboy if you want to get a 2-week free trial of the greatest movie service in the history of mankind.
And if you wanted to get some sort of t-shirt, Josh, what would you do?
You would go to jinx.com/ifanboy and you would send in a picture of yourself wearing it. These pictures exist. I've seen them. And then they'll send you stickers, and then we would be happy about it too.
Yep. And like we said earlier, if you want to email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS 326-2697 with any questions or comments. And you could also go to ifanboy.com/about, and that's where you can see all links to the various social networks of the world for both iFanboy as well as us individually. And you could, you know, be friends with us on MySpace or follow us on Twitter or Facebook or whatever you want to do. So check it out.
Here's the iFanboy video show, aside from the mini, which is the weekly Saturday show with a longer, more in-depth show. Yesterday, or this past week's show, was WonderCon, Wonder Plague. Yep. And next week, I believe...
Next week is going to be highlights from the comics podcasting panel at WonderCon.
There was a lot of interesting people on that panel, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was. We had ourselves. We had Brian Diemer from Comic Geek Speak. We had Lainey Taylor from I Read Comics, and Chris Niesman from Around Comics. And we've done these panels for the past couple of years, and because they're so long and all that kind of stuff, we haven't been able to really show you those folks at home who couldn't attend. But this time, we've taken the 90-minute panel and we've condensed it down into a smaller video episode that you can see and enjoy.
Here's a tip: I was really hungover.
Yes. And if you like what you hear, you can go to iTunes and leave a review, or better yet, just tell your friends about us and let everybody get the word out, let everybody know.
Click subscribe on everybody's computer you know. They don't have to know about it.
Go to your comic book store and tell everybody. You got friends at your comic book store. Tell them, hey, I go to this cool site, ifanboy.com. They got a podcast. They got stuff. Go check it out.
We'll give you stickers to do that.
Yeah.
And if you like the show and you feel like you want to help out, you can go to donate some cash at ifanboy.com/donations, and you can donate as little as a dollar.
every little bit helps.
We'll take it.
Yeah, that whole 7 cents thing, though, is bullshit, so don't do that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Minimum a dollar.
Apparently that cost us hundreds of dollars.
It really did, and you're in trouble.
It's coming out of your check, Josh. It's coming right out of your check.
All right, so Connor, welcome back. It was good to have you back. And we probably should get back to video editing because we got a lot of work to do. So until next week.
I've been editing during the show. I didn't ever stop.
So until next week, I am Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Josh.
rendering
is a video term.
Always rendering.
Oh my God, end it, please.